I think we're live. What's up, party people? Hello, fellow insomniacs. I'm your host, Chris Padgett, insomniac. All right, let's talk. Some of you out there can relate to the inability to sleep at night. Basically, it's my world. You know, last night I did my first Insomniac Insight, episode 1. If you haven't seen it, it's riveting. And let's see. The truth is, it was madness. There wasn't any rhyme and reason to it. It was just simply babbling. Tonight, I want you to know, I have an amazing topic for us. And it's simply put, the importance of binge watching Netflix. Okay, so probably like many of you out there, I have been binge-watching Netflix shows. Because why? Well, first of all, because the reality is, within a month or two of this incredible madness of the coronavirus, I won't be able to afford Netflix. So I'm trying to watch as much as I can humanly watch while I have the chance. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because at some point, they're going to pull the plug, right? They're going to pull the plug and then basically say, hey, look, I appreciate that you like what we're doing here, but you have to actually pay a bill. All right. I'll get to it eventually. Okay. So here's the thing. So I'm binge watching. I'm binge watching all these shows, probably like you. Okay. And of course, the most famous popular show everybody's binge watching is this, is the Tiger Show. Okay. Which, by the way, is riveting documentary work. And David Spade has been interviewing all of the people on the Tiger Show. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, it's riveting. Because then at some point you start to realize my life is not that bad. I mean, it's not Tiger King bad. It's bad, but it's not that bad. And so we all feel better about ourselves. But so tonight, you know, I wanted tonight to be a lot better, right? I wanted tonight to be a better episode. So I'm going to talk about things that are really important for people who are insomniacs, which is basically binge watching quality shows. And so I've been watching, and I just finished the first season of All American. I don't know if you've seen that, but basically it's for all the people who are pissed off that all their sports are gone, and so they're looking for something to fill that lack. And so watching All American is like it's like Friday Night Lights and probably a soap opera had a baby. That's what it is. And so I watched it, and dude, it's so drama driven that, I mean, I'm emotionally exhausted after each of the episodes, and, but I'm hooked. So I'm going to end up watching all of these stupid shows, because I'm committed now. And that's the problem with binge watching, is that once you watch like a few episodes and you're hooked, it's like you start thinking to yourself, well, what do I have to get up for in the morning? I don't actually have a job anymore. So, I guess I'll watch all night long. So the only thing that caused me to stop watching the second season now of All American was this. Because I knew once I started to do this, I could shut that off, and then I could finally do a little reading before I went to bed. So that's kind of the big deal. I'm not sure what you're watching lately, but for us as a family, we usually will find a show that we can all watch, and then after that, you know, usually everybody will kind of do their own little thing until we do prayer time. And then maybe Linda and I will find a show that we like to watch. So what have you been watching lately? I got, we've already done probably all of the main ones that you guys have seen. We've already watched like The Sinner, that has a couple seasons. Everybody's been talking about Ozark. So I've already watched the full season for the first season. Now they have two more seasons out, and everybody's raving about the third season. So I don't know. I mean, how much can you do with drugs in the Ozark and laundering money? And apparently you can do two more seasons of it. So I don't know. Anyways, I'm looking for suggestions. So if you've got something great, let me know. I'm interested because I don't know if I can do too much soap opera drama with All American anymore. I'm going to need something different. And I love comedies. There's a guy named Tim Robinson who's hilarious. And he did a series called I Think You Should Leave. So if you've not watched that and you're interested in something bizarre, like weird sketch comedy, this guy's a genius. And he and I forgot the other guy's name. They did a series called I think it's just called Detroiters. And that was on Comedy Central. And I just heard recently it just went up on one of the streaming places. So maybe it's streaming for free on Comedy Central. I got to find out. But I love comedy, and I love shows that are even sketch comedy driven. So anyway, I'm looking for some ideas from you guys out there if you've been watching some good stuff. Let's see. What else? The other thing is... you know, I'm watching like many of you are, all these folks who are getting on and they're doing their live feed thing and watching people do concerts. Kind of. In fact, I watched a person today do a concert who I knew when they were a kid and they got on and they just kind of revisited one of their first albums. And it was kind of cool to watch that. And so people are kind of getting back to their roots. Watching some of the streaming stuff that's going on from friends of mine who are doing ministry stuff throughout the day. I think that's pretty awesome, too. Ultimately, I think what Linda and I wanted to do with our county route report was just to offer people some levity amidst the craziness. And so we've been doing this letter of the day bit. We'll do that tomorrow at like 11 Eastern Standard Time. And then I, you know, in the evening, I just am wanting to do some crazy, you know, rant. And so today I've been thinking a lot about the double knots that people have done on their shoe. All day long I've been thinking about this. But also the person who can walk around with their shoe untied. And I have to confess, you know, I've done that. I've done that in my life. I've walked through places with my shoe untied. And then somebody's like, hey, your shoe's untied. And I just want to say, you know what? I know it is, okay? I'm an adult. You don't think I know that? I know that. But I've just chosen to ignore it, right? I'm taking risks. But then at some point you get so old, then you start realizing that I'm not going to take risks. I could actually get hurt. And this is true. Sometimes before the change happened, in the words of S.M. Sterling, when I was in a hotel room, all of a sudden this last year or two, I got a little scared when I was going to get into the shower, like, what if I slip? You know, when you get old, you start looking for that tread on the shower floor of the tub, you know. You probably don't know this, but back in the 70s, old people used to put this stuff on the bottom of their tubs so when they took a shower, they wouldn't slip. And here's the problem is that they had these little gelatinous little balls. They were like bath oils. You'd throw the ball into the water and it would dissolve and it would kind of put this like oil slick on the top of the bath water. Which, you know, when you think about it, in the 70s, all sorts of old people were breaking their hips. And certainly it had to be connected to the fact that they're throwing basically an oil slick into their water, bath water. And so they get up, they slip, they fall. So to avoid the fall, they would put these like little sticky things at the bottom. They were kind of like, like tread in a way to keep them from falling down. But here's a thought, and this is just weird, but why not throw the oil slick ball into the tub and then you don't have to worry about senior adults falling down and breaking their hip. All right. My wife wants to know how long I'm going to talk. She wants to go to sleep. All right, look, Joe, you need to go to bed. I don't know how long I'm going to talk. It's probable that it won't be long because I got to read some more. I have to read to be able to calm down. I'm just in a rant right now. I'm going to guess I'm going to go for another 10 minutes at the most. So if you need to go to sleep, I'm not mad about it. All right, stick 'em. Mark, I don't know if that's right. Listen, Mark, you went through this whole... you're not 100% sure because you didn't have the test, but you went through the coronavirus thing. You're my hope because you're an old man and you've survived it, it looks like. I'm just terrified. I'm not going to lie that every cough I have is basically me with, you know, the coronavirus trying to kill me. So It's a scary time, isn't it? You know, in the old days, in the 70s, people were worried about taking a bath because they were throwing these gelatinous little oil slicks into the tub. Now, you can't even walk outside. You're afraid to communicate with another human being because it's possible, you know, they have some sort of disease they're going to breathe on you. But I take encouragement and hope when I see people like my friend Mark here who is doing well. I'm at least we've been praying and thankful for his health and wellness. So would you say not a shape old guy? I know you are, but so am I. So, but I think, as a country right now, we're all a little bit on pins and needles, and, we've been trying to stay home as much as humanly possible. And we're back to binge watching television shows. Here's another thought. This is just another small side note, okay? Why the crap do I have the ESPN app on my phone anymore? What's the purpose? What is its purpose? I mean, there's nothing they can offer me now on ESPN. There's zero things that they can give to me. I paid for that ESPN Plus. I haven't visited ESPN Plus in probably a month now. You know, what can it show me? The only positive light in terms of new fresh material seems to be coming from Netflix and other streaming devices. So I just had to get that off my chest, you guys. Thank you for listening to me rant. So Mark is saying you were exercising. Let's talk about exercise. I've been lifting weights for about a month. I think I mentioned this maybe yesterday. I have lost literally no weight whatsoever. I am not skinnier. I can't see my cheekbones. I don't even think my clothes are fitting me better. What is the purpose of exercising if you don't see some sort of an immediate, like, some sort of an encouragement? It's like your body should say, you know, I know you're trying. I want to encourage you. Keep it up. My body does the exact opposite, okay? It not only does it not tell me, hey, good job, thanks for exercising, I'm going to let you lose weight and make your clothes fit better, but it's almost like my body says, let me show you another part of your body that's not working right. And then something collapses, right? Like my metabolism or, you know, etc. I don't even know why I'm doing these. I'll tell you why I'm doing these is that there's nothing else for me to do except read and watch television. And I needed a break, so I thought I would communicate with the outside world. And so thank you for all 10 of you watching me right now. And I know, clearly, it's a waste of time. There's not even a doubt. I'm not pretending that there's anything of substance here. Okay, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to give you some sort of spiritual lesson. It's just simply me hanging out with you. And this is my final rant. Maybe, probably not. But let's pretend it's my final rant. I'm having a hard time on social media now with everybody that wants to be my my life coach or my spiritual advisor, you know, my spiritual director. Sometimes I just want to say, how about no? So the unfollow button has been my joy the last few days. I'm not even going to lie. It's like every time I turn on, somebody's got to give some sort of like hugely deep spiritual insight into why, you know, we should all be super happy right now. And I'm just not there. I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed. I'm grateful because we have an amazing place. I'm thankful because I have an amazing family that's here with me. And I'm blessed because we still have that place and my family's still with me. But, you know, it can be a little daunting, the reality of what's going on around us. And I just feel like sometimes people are like just, it's like sugarcoating things. And I just sometimes I'm looking for just a real witness and a real testimony from someone who is speaking hope from a place of honesty. Does that make sense? Here's what I see. A lot of people are like, hey, don't, you know, don't give up. You know, let's look at all the positives. It's our earth is rebooting, and it's a chance to just regroup with families. And then I think about people who have lost their jobs, are in a family dynamic that's insane, where violence and abuse is going on, and they're thinking like, this is hell for me right now. And I guess sometimes I just kind of look at that and I think it'd be great if we could have voices speaking to the reality of the difficulty and then finding Christ in that. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit cynical tonight, so forgive me for that if that's the case. But normally I like to keep things light and silly and crazy because that just helps sometimes to know that we don't have to always be super serious at all times. I'm thinking about this a little bit too, because I have family members that are struggling, that have big events coming up, that want to celebrate with all of their friends and get together, but all of their desires and dreams are literally being taken away from them because of this virus. And have good friends who are full-time lay evangelists and ministers who every one of their gigs for the next few months are canceled. And so, you know, for those who have a job during this time, it probably isn't so bad thinking, well, I can work from home and money's coming in. But so many people I know are not like that. So pray for those that are struggling right now. Pray for those families that are just feeling alone or in scenarios where there's just all sorts of crazy things going on that they have no freedom from. And people who struggle with depression, a lot of people struggle with that during these times. So, okay, turning the corner. Let's go to something different real quick, and then I'll wrap it up. I'm kind of a bookaholic, and so I love to hear what you're reading. If you're brave enough to share with me some of the books you're reading, I would love to know. I'm reading probably at this time about 5 or 6 different books. One is called The World According to Garp. I don't know if I can recommend that to very many people, but I'm enjoying it. John Irving is a legend in the literary world. I like it. And there's another guy that I'm really a big fan of, and I've been waiting for some of his books for a while, Jim Butcher. And he has 2 books coming out. One, I believe, in I want to say the end of April or May. And then the other, a few months later, Jim Butcher has written a series on Harry Dresden, who's a wizard in Chicago. And I just love his stuff. So I think it's his 16th and 17th book, Peace Talks and Battlefield, are coming out. I'm pumped about that. Dallas just mentioned Mr. Mercedes. I've read all of those. Stephen King came out with a trilogy. Mr. Mercedes, Finders, Keepers, End of Watch, read them all. It's phenomenal. And actually, the quirky girl in that series shows up in, The Outsider. So those of you who are Stephen King fans, I've loved his stuff for a long time. And I've probably read a truckload of his materials. A couple other great books. Just in terms of spiritual books, which I don't really spend a lot of time pushing, but one of the books that I would recommend is a book by this guy, Father Jacques Philippe, and it's called Searching for and Maintaining Peace. Just in terms of, you know, honest, vulnerable, real, good stuff. It's fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. It's probably one of the best spiritual books I've read in a long time. I did also the consecration book, the St. Joseph consecration book that Father Don Calloway did, published and put out. So recommend that highly. What's kind of cool, and this is a small little just kind of thankful report, amidst the quarantine and being home, which again, I'm really blessed. And so I might've sounded a little bit ranty and irritable, but the truth is I'm super grateful and blessed because I get to be with my family. I've got 4 of my boys here and at least 2 of my girls. So, we're doing really well. My son, who's 20, Noah, my oldest, he's leading his brothers, his three other brothers, in the St. Joseph consecration, 33-day consecration book. I'm so proud of him, and I'm so excited about his leadership, just showing his older brothers, you know, a discipline of a prayer life and growing together as men. And I'm kind of just letting him take the lead on that. I think it's good for him, and I think it's good for his brothers to follow. So pretty pumped about that. Joe Wires, I don't know what that is. The Hot Zone, is that a show or is that a book? The Cobra Event. I'll try to look that up. The Life and Death and Legacy of Freddie Mercury. Look, I think, and this is my opinion, but I think Freddie Mercury is the greatest rock and roll vocalist of all time, period. And I don't think that there's anybody that could match that. That's my feeling. And but what is interesting is that when Queen did its reunion tour, they had a guy named Paul Rogers, if I remember right, who was the lead singer for Bad Company. And but Paul Rogers, his voice is freaking amazing too. So yeah. I read or listened to the Audible on Tom Petty this last year, which was fantastic, a biography of his. And so I like good biographies on rock and roll bands. Prodigal Son by Nouwen is phenomenal, Mark. I agree with you. That's actually one of the best. I think Henry Nouwen is a great spiritual reader and a spiritual writer. And for me, as a voracious reader, he's one of my favorites. Richard Preston. I have a lot of Doug. Are you talking about Douglas Preston or Richard Preston? I don't know who that is. Richard Preston's the author. I'll check that out, Joe. But there's Douglas Preston. Maybe they're related. So he's written the I forgot the name. Pendast. I sound like I'm freaking having a stroke right now. Pendergast, doesn't he write that series? Douglas Preston and Lee Child or something like that. Always recommend The Night Circus. Okay, so Jordan, thanks for mentioning that. I have that book, and that author just came out with another one. I have that as well. But I have not read either. I've heard great things about The Night Circus, so I might jump on that soon. I've been reading this. It's S.M. Sterling, and he wrote this kind of post-apocalyptic book, and the Amberverse series. And I'm on the second of that right now, which I'm really enjoying. Okay, and then I've read and I'm reading the Garp book by Irving, but I also have a few others that I'm reading. I love Pat Conroy. He's one of my all-time favorite writers. And so I just started the Lords of Discipline, and I'll probably jump into that full force soon. And then this, I think it's Mark Greeley. Does that sound right? And Grainy Greeley. I'm digging his stuff as well. Although for some reason I'm going a little blank on his name. Let's see. Saint Teresa of Avila, of course. The Big Flower. That's funny, Austin, that you say that, because I've actually never heard anyone call Teresa of Avila the Big Flower, but that's funny since we call Teresa Lisu the Little Flower. Austin is a good friend from the California area, and he sends me videos now and then just making me laugh. The movie Outbreak. I saw that movie a long time ago. I think that was with Dustin Hoffman. Is that right? The Outbreak, movie. And, I don't know if I'd probably like the books. I usually like the book better anyways than the movie, based on Preston's The Hot Zone. All right. I'll keep that out. So, Jennifer, my husband's a non-practicing Catholic. I'm Protestant. I've been seriously thinking about converting to Catholicism. Listen, Jennifer, first of all, I love you. You know I love you. And I'm so grateful to see you here. Look, let me tell you in about 2 minutes why I love being Catholic. Everything that I loved and valued in my Protestant upbringing, I just felt like went to the millionth degree in being Catholic. All the things that I loved about being Protestant, I didn't have to throw away at all. My love for Jesus, my devotion to him in a personal relationship, my love for sacred scripture, my challenge and encouragement to go out and care for people around me, all of that exponentially increased when I became Catholic. And there's such a weird misunderstanding about Catholicism that it's reduced down to works and to doing all these things. And honestly, being Catholic for me has helped me to be a better man, I think, a better father and a better husband. And if you are interested, if you go to on YouTube and you just type in Chris Padgett Coming Home Network, I shared my conversion story with Marcus Grody on this TV show, and it was pretty cool. I did that a couple different times. And you can always email me, chris@chrispadgett.com, and I would love to talk about Catholicism. I'm very grateful and appreciative for my upbringing, and I learned the importance and the beauty of sacred scripture and prayer and God's forgiveness and mercy, and God knows I certainly was an expert in sinning. But becoming Catholic, I just really felt like helped me to solidly step out on a firm foundation of truly living a faith-filled life and being a better person to my family. So, yeah, listen, I can't encourage people enough to be open to the Catholic faith, because I think it takes all the good that we love in our Protestant experiences to another level. That's just my personal opinion. So, appreciate that. And you know, I care for you deeply, and all of my other people from South Dakota. I feel like you guys saw me back in the day with all my, you know, oddities and craziness, and y'all loved me anyway. So thank you for that. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Yep, Linda and I just celebrated our 21st anniversary of being Catholic. Easter of 1999, we came into the church, and so obviously this Easter, in just a week, we will have our celebration. Joe, that's so beautiful that you just said that, because I don't think I even was thinking about that. Linda and I also just celebrated our 29th anniversary, so that was pretty special as well. So it's been a great month. Linda also had her birthday in March, and we celebrated by literally staying at home. And our 2020 pictures of all celebrations, birthday parties, anniversaries, all these major moments are literally going to be us just sitting in our house doing freaking nothing, you know? And my daughter's getting married in about a month. And it's looking like it's going to be, she can only have 10 people at her wedding at this point. So yeah, things are freaking weird right now, right? So yeah, thank you guys for your support and encouragement tonight. And hey, Austin, I want to tell you something. So there's a photo you said on your right-hand side in the background about ear level in the video frame, from what I can see. I don't know how to, I can't open that more from here. So let's see. So I got a couple pictures here. Here's my boys and I. They're little there. Noah's 20 now. Maybe you're talking about this picture. This is Linda's high school picture from when we were at Bayshore High School. And we met our senior year. So I don't know if those were the photos you're talking about, but it's kind of funny. We've been together since we were 17. That's kind of crazy, really, if you think about it. And we've grown up together in a lot of ways. Let's see. My last little thoughts here. This went on way longer than I intended, but it looks like there's a lot of other people who are insomniacs as well. So welcome to my world. The funny thing is, I did this first episode last night, and I ended up staying up like another hour and a half reading. And that's probably what's going to happen now. It's like 2 a.m, and I'm not going to bed anytime soon. I don't know what my deal is, but I think a lot of people can relate. We'll just say that. So, forgive me for any loss of train of thought here. I honestly I don't remember what I was talking about. If there's anything I dropped the ball on, forgive me. But just know I'm thinking about you guys. I wanted to bring a little fun to your evening, hoping you have a great night, that eventually you get some rest, and that you wake up next to the people that you care about and that you love, you know? So today we moved the sheep. That was fun. We moved them back to their main pen because it's supposed to rain a little bit tonight, so we didn't want them to get wet where they were at in their little pasture. And we had some leftovers. And tomorrow we bought a smoker, so we're gonna try to do some smoking tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. But how to fall asleep? Oh, I know what I was gonna say, Austin. I want to tell you something. Yesterday or the day before, if you look at some of the previous videos, I still wear the bulldog sweater that I basically stole from you. So I think about you on a regular basis because that shirt's gotten a lot of mileage. So thank you for that. And yeah, poor Austin, every time I see him, I would end up finding a way to steal his shirt, which sounds really weird the more I say that. But yeah, so Sister Helen Burns used to say that while everyone else is asleep, sleeping, it's us insomniacs praying for him. That's funny, Joe, because the truth is what'll happen is I'll read some more and then I'll go to bed. And because by the time I get to bed, I still won't be able to go to sleep, but I pray the rosary until I fall asleep. So that's kind of a cool little practice and tradition for me. So, and it's nice. Not smoked lamb. I think it's going to be smoked turkey. So here's a weird question. On our property, we have Canadian geese that will come to the little pond that we have. Asking for a friend, has anybody ever eaten Canadian geese? You know what I'm saying? If the zombie apocalypse happens, do you know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever eaten Canadian geese? Just wondering. It's possible? No. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, I'm in your TMNT pizza shirt right now. I literally have no idea what you're talking about. They're oily. Have you tried it, Jen? Have you really tried it before? I mean, in South Dakota, pretty much, if it has two legs, we're required by law to consider hunting it. If it has four legs, we must kill it and eat it. So, yeah. Here's another question. I found this out in Louisiana. A whole bunch of Louisianans are eating squirrel. Never thought that. I never thought I want to eat a squirrel, but apparently this is something people eat and they enjoy. Jennifer, I don't know if you remember this. I can't remember if you were in this class, but, and I seriously don't remember. I know that Jen Luby was in the class with me, and so would have been Sean Powers, because Sean Powers brought to class one day dried turtle, and we all tried it. And I'm thinking it was the sixth grade or seventh grade. Turtle. It wasn't bad, actually, but I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm eating dried turtle. You gave me a shirt, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did I really? Tastes like chicken. So we got, it's a little oily, a little gamey, a goose is a goose. Okay, well, that's kind of cool, because who knows, maybe depending on the season, I ate squirrel as a kid in Mississippi. Why am I not surprised? In Mississippi, I'm not surprised that you ate squirrel. Right? Not bad. That's what a person from Mississippi would say. Of course, it's not bad. Turtle. Here's the thing. And maybe the last thought, I don't know why I got all redneck now, but in our pond, we have probably 8,000 frogs. Like, it's literally unbelievable how noisy it is out there. So my question is, has anybody eaten frog legs that they like made themselves, you know, like you cut the frog legs off and you ate them? I can't even believe I'm having this conversation, but it's 2:14 in the morning. So why wouldn't we be talking about frog legs? It's possible this year I'm going to try frog legs. Also, our goat had baby goats, and we just got the filter in. So we're going to actually milk the, we're gonna milk the goat. This is so dumb. And then we're gonna just try to clean out, make sure there's no hair in it or anything like that. And we're gonna try goat's milk for the first time. So, oh my gosh, I feel like we're such rednecks right now. We're out of control. We are literally out of control. So, love you guys. I'm grateful. We're going to try some of the frog legs. I'm just afraid, like, it would be my luck to try a frog leg and it would be from a frog that's like poisonous or something like that. I don't think that's the case. I don't think we have any frogs here that are poisonous. In fact, in where we are, there's really no real poisonous animals. Very, very rare. Okay. So, but, you know, when we're talking about the zombie apocalypse like we've been talking about the last couple nights, you know, having a steady source of food is a good idea. And frog legs, we probably have enough frog legs here to feed a city. That's how many frogs will live in that pond. It's insane. Okay. Have goats all over the property. We do have goats. We have tons of goats. And so if we need to, obviously, I'm turning into the Tiger King. Austin, I said this yesterday. I have a shirt of me in a tiger. And I thought, I am the first Tiger King. This guy has got nothing on me. All right, I should probably go. I've literally wasted so much of your time. I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry. It's great to hang out with you. I'm sure I'll be here tomorrow, you know, for the Insomniac episode, number 3. I hope tonight wasn't too daunting and terrifying for some of you out there. Some of you, like, living in the big cities are probably really depressed right now because we were talking about killing animals and eating them. I don't know if you know this, but when you go to a restaurant and you buy a steak or chicken or hamburger, you are literally eating what was once alive. So, just for your information, okay? Unless you're a vegetarian, and I hate to break this to you, here's what, have you ever heard the phrase, there are no atheists in war or foxholes? I almost feel like I want to say there are no vegetarians in the zombie apocalypse. I mean, like, at some point we're all going to have to figure out how to survive, right? Good night, Mark. I love you. Be blessed. Good night, everybody else. Thank you so much for what you do. Yeah, that's right, man. I get to hang out with you guys for Denver tomorrow. I'm going to hang out with you guys for the youth leader event. So I'll see you in Denver tomorrow at around 10. $2,000 will get you a Tiger Cup. All right. God bless you guys. Love you.